Welcome to Today's Main Ingredient, a program designed to help you bring local farm fresh food to your table. I'm your host, Mickey Useups. My guests today are farmers Andy Curtis and Lily Allgood from Journey's End Farm in Newfoundland, where they operate a CSA, and they can also be found on Friday afternoons at the Hawley Farmers Market in Bingham Park in Hawley. We'll also be joined by Caleb Johnson. He is the chef at Native Restaurant, a farm-to-table restaurant in Honesdale. Today's main ingredient is eggplant. So we'll begin with our farmers. I have to say, not a big fan of eggplant myself. One thing I do know, though, is it came from the tropics, but it makes me wonder, you know, how well it grows in our area.
Ironically, neither of us used to like eggplant either. But we're converts.
We hated it at first.
We're converts. Poorly cooked eggplant is a scourge on the world.
Yeah, we can let Caleb talk all about how to cook it, but neither of us used to like it either. And then we both grew to like it when we worked at a restaurant in Maine. And now I think it went from being my least favorite vegetable to one of my very favorites, and certainly one of my favorites to grow because it's so beautiful.
It does pretty well in Wayne County, especially on a hot summer, in a summer that's not quite as hot.
Or if you get insane amounts of rain.
Lots of rain, yeah.
May not do as well. But you can definitely grow it around here. And obviously we grow it as an annual. We plant it in the spring and not a perennial like where it's native to. We start it in trays in the early spring in March, but we do that inside under grow lights and keep it warm. It doesn't tolerate any kind of cold. So it's one of those things like tomatoes and peppers. Right around beginning of June is when we start planting it out in the field.
Now, they're pretty big plants that bear eggplant, are they not?
They are. They're quite large, a couple of feet tall. We have 36-inch wide beds on our farm. And with many things, we plant two or three or four rows in one bed. But with eggplant, we give them the entire bed and they're spaced about 18 inches apart.
I know there's a lot of different varieties of eggplant.
So we grow five varieties. We grow sort of that standard black kind of dark purple eggplant that everyone recognizes. We grow Rosa Bianca, which is a Italian heirloom. Everyone at the market recognizes it as the Sicilian one. And that's just sort of the big round pale violet. Sometimes it has ribs on it. It's a really beautiful eggplant. That one's quite delicious. We grow Rosita, which is a Spanish heirloom. That's a pale lavender, kind of similar to the dark purple one that people recognize in shape. And then the stripy ones that a lot of people call graffiti, the one that we grow is called Listada de Gandia. Actually, that's the Spanish heirloom. The Rosita, I think, is from Puerto Rico. We grow an Asian variety called Ping Tong Long. And those are the really skinny, small, thin, dark purple ones.
You mentioned several times, several of them are heirloom varieties. Let's talk a little bit about what you mean when you say an heirloom variety of a plant.
It's a very loosely used term sometimes, but it's essentially a variety that's been around and in production for 50 or more years. And some of them much, much longer. And some of them are cultural heritage plants. Like the Rosa Bianca eggplant, people think of it as the Sicilian eggplant. That's where it came from, and people grow it all over the place, but that's, you know, where it originated. Whereas the large purple eggplant that we grow is a hybrid, which is a intentional cross between two parent plants that yields a really vigorous offspring, which is what we buy seed for. But if we were to plant that seed out and save it from those eggplants, they might not grow true to the variety that we planted. That's how the hybridization process works. All the heirlooms are generally open pollinated. So that means the seed, you can save it and it's more or less the same.
What we want folks to know about heirloom really is that, you know, these are not, I say engineered in that that's something that people have been doing for thousands of years in agronomy and agriculture, crossing plants with desirable traits in order to get a more vigorous or a more resilient plant that yields more, grows better in the climate and things like that. But when we talk about heirloom today, we talk about varieties that originated in an area and then have been brought into different climates and learned to adapt.
Saved over generations.
Right. But let's talk a little bit about how long the plants or the fruit takes to mature.
So we started the seeds in late March this year. I think we planted them out on June 12th, and then we started harvesting them mid-July. For us, they're mature before a tomato.
Eggplants are heavy, so they need to be staked or somehow supported so they can hold that fruit.
It's so interesting. We were just talking about that and being like, we don't stake our eggplants. Everyone always talks about staking them. We've never done it. We're kind of in a valley, somewhat protected area, so we don't get as heavy winds, but they are a big plant and they can kind of topple over, especially holding on to an eggplant. But if you're a home gardener and you see your eggplant is keeling over, just pound a stake into the ground and tie it right up. You could use cages like tomato cages, or you could string them up.
Now that they're ripe, is there a special way that you pick them, that you remove them from the plant?
Yeah, so we always pick with pruners, and you kind of squat down and kind of peel the leaves back because they're very good at hiding. And then you just clip on the stem and catch it before it falls, kind of thing. The one thing to be careful of is that eggplants are actually prickly, especially their stem end can be prickly.
In terms of what they look like when they're ready to harvest, we're looking for them to be as large as we expect them to be, which for each variety is a little bit different. We want them to get big, but not so big that they lose their glossy skin. So as soon as the skin sort of loses its sheen, they're over mature.
So we find that as long as they're still really shiny, we don't even salt them or anything. We haven't had bitter eggplants as long as they're not over mature.
Lily, you mentioned that you really enjoy growing eggplant because they're so beautiful. What is it that you find so pleasant to look at when they're growing in the garden?
It's so interesting. I think purple's my least favorite color, but for some reason, when it's on an eggplant, it just looks so enticing. I think also, you know, there are those winter months where you're looking at the seed catalog and the eggplant page is just very inviting. So we get kind of sucked in and we probably grow more varieties than we need to. They're just kind of interesting plants. Big, bushy. They don't actually require that much care, which as a farmer, you don't really mind. And then just once a week, we go out and pick them. And it always feels like very satisfying to get a big load of eggplants in.
Do you have a favorite recipe for eggplant? You said you guys are converts.
Well, I think that for us, what we realized was we really don't like undercooked eggplant. When I didn't like eggplant, I think often it was because the outside might be burnt a little bit and then the inside was still chewy. And also, everyone has probably different opinions about this, but everyone's so afraid of oil. And eggplants do soak up a lot of oil. And I think use good oil and enjoy it because they like it and they cook better when they have enough oil on them. And they're not like dry and rubbery. I think that when they don't have enough oil, they can be dry and rubbery. But in terms of favorite recipes, one thing we do is turn all the burners on a gas stove and just put a whole eggplant on. And then you slowly rotate it and get the whole outside charred. You try not to puncture it so any juice comes out. And then you scoop the flesh out and make baba ganoush. That's one of our favorites.
So that's the perfect segue to today's foodie, our chef from Native Restaurant in Honesdale, Caleb Johnson. Caleb, welcome back to today's main ingredient. So we were just talking about the ins and outs a little bit there of how to make sure your eggplant tastes good. So you are our preparation and cooking expert today on eggplant. So why don't you walk us through how you prepare eggplant once you bring it into your kitchen?
I just want to say first, I think we all have a very similar experience with eggplant. I remember not liking it at all. Right now, I think that cooked properly and done maybe a little bit more interestingly, it can be phenomenal. So we do have it on the menu now. Right now, we have a whole roasted trout, sort of a play on a puttanesca style, so briny and tomatoey. We have that whole roasted trout with some heirloom tomatoes and olives and capers and lemon juice. And then we do a pickled eggplant couscous to accompany that dish to kind of keep that the brininess and the acidity up. But the cooking process, like Lily said, and I love your format here because I can just piggyback off what the farmers are saying, but she's so right. Oil is very important. You do have to have enough oil, and it is kind of the same deal. We use very high heat, so we cube it up depending on what variety of eggplant it is. Usually we don't even skin it, just dice it up to about a small medium dice and get a rondo very, very, very hot and make sure that there's plenty of oil in it. And we hard sear it and we let it cook out until it's cooked all the way through. And then we just deglaze that pan with equal parts sherry vinegar, honey, a little bit of chili flake, some fresh mint, and a bunch of salt.
I'm not exactly a fan of eggplant. And it sounds to me like I have suffered from the scourge that Andy talked about when we first got started here, poorly cooked eggplant.
Going back to a lot of people not really enjoying eggplant, I mean, this stuff that the local farmers are growing, it's just beautiful. It's super tender. The skin is tender. The colors are beautiful. I think a lot of us think of eggplant and we do think of these like big factory farm, like overgrown, super tough skin, insanely seedy.
Let's talk about bringing it into the kitchen. So is there anything we have to do to clean it, get it ready to cook?
Eggplants are also very easy in that regard. So most farmers around here are great about washing their stuff. We wash it when it comes in anyway. And then really, depending on what you're going to use it for, it's as simple as trimming that top and doing whatever you're going to do with it.
Eggplant can sometimes be bitter. How do you overcome that in the kitchen? What's your answer to that?
Well, I think that's why that pickle works out very well for us. And if you look at all these different cultures and their preparations for eggplant, in India, they have pickled eggplant. In Italy, they have a caponata, which is essentially pickled eggplant. Contrarily to what some people think, the acidity in vinegar will actually combat that bitterness, but that's why we use the local honey in that recipe as well. Because if you do have an eggplant that's been around maybe a little bit too long, or it was picked just a little bit too long and it has that touch of bitterness, you just need to find something in the way you're preparing it that offsets that. So that's what that honey is going to do for us in that recipe. Okay. And that's why a recipe is a guideline and I don't believe should be followed to a T, because if you have like beautiful fresh, or you have like a sweeter variety of an eggplant, you're not going to need as much honey. But if you have something that's sat around, you might need to add a little bit more.
Probably one of the most popular dishes that I know eggplant is eggplant parmesan. I love parmesan, but I always find the eggplant gets lost in it. How do you make that so it's good? Is it just stay away from drowning it in sauce? Or is there a way to get that common dish people know to taste better?
Again, I think that Lily touched on it there. So we did an eggplant parm in a restaurant that I worked at in Philly, and it was phenomenal. And I think the biggest thing for that was, so the first thing that we would do is actually just slice and salt that eggplant and then let that sit. But then we would get a pan very, very hot and get a very good sear, a very hard caramelization on there before going through the breading process, because you want to bring out all those flavors. For a classic dish like a parm, that would be my best suggestion, to actually sear that eggplant before you go through the breading process at all.
And I can see why, how that would help to give it the structure and the flavor that, you know, you want to find underneath all that sauce and cheese. Can you give us some simple ways, recipes or combinations of spices that might help our listeners start introducing eggplant into their diet that isn't fried parmesan?
I think don't be shy with it. So she talked about a bab ganoush, and that's a great way to use an eggplant. I had one recently at a local restaurant that was a smoked bab ganoush, and it was just heavenly, you know. So for a bab ganoush, you have to roast it down first, however you're going to do it, whether you're going to do it whole, like Lily said. We used to do that out of a wood oven, just throw it in the embers and let it rock out until it was nice and tender. But then you're just going to whip it up with whatever spices you want. You can go a couple different ways with it. You could go kind of like a cumin coriander route. Same thing with honey. And then the Indian pickle, we would do a lot of mustard seeds, throw some curry in it, a lot of onion. And kind of that would be the similar process to what I described at the restaurant, just cooking it all down and then deglazing with your pickling liquid.
So let's describe what baba ganoush is.
You're essentially making like an eggplant hummus. So you're going to cook it down whichever way you'd prefer to do that. And then you're just going to puree it or put it into a food processor. You put it on toast. You could put it on crackers. Any type of flatbread would be delicious.
Do you have a favorite eggplant dish?
I don't know that I have a favorite, but I'll never forget the first time that I was like, oh, wait, I actually like eggplant. I was working in a restaurant in upstate New York. I was just out of high school a little bit, and it was owned by three different Italian families that all came over here together. They'd slice the eggplant down and salt it, and then they would grill it, but they would leave it in those long sections. They'd put two crossed on each other, and in the center of that cross, they would put like a slice of mozzarella, a slice of tomato, a couple of leaves of basil, and then they would fold that up and they would bake it in the oven until that mozzarella melted, and then it would come out and they would hit it with balsamic. And that was the first time I was ever like, oh man, you know what? There might be something to this.
I think the main lesson we learned today, first of all, go to the farmer's market and get some and experiment with it and try some new things.
The funny thing to have everybody on this podcast start off with, well, I never really cared for it. I think a lot of people feel that way. I think you can't be shy to give it another shot. And I would definitely say, make sure you're getting it from a local farmer.
We have the Wayne County Farmers Market in Honesdale in front of the Dave Super Duper on Saturday. Fridays is the Holly Farmers Market in Bingham Park. And don't forget the Milford Farmers Market at the Columns on Sunday. You can learn more about today's main ingredient and our guests, as well as find some delicious recipes on the web at seedsgroup.net and look for the Today's Main Ingredient page or visit todaysmainingredient.org. This program is produced by Seeds of Northeastern Pennsylvania to promote renewable energy, sustainable agriculture, and sustainable living in today's world. Today's Main Ingredient is made possible in part by grants from the Greater Pike Community Foundation, the Wayne Pike Farm Bureau, Overlook Estate Foundation, and is sponsored by Fertile Valley Farms and Wolf Spring Farms. Two local farms working together. Call 410-961-0413.